This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Volleyball is not an individual sport. There's six players out there working together as one, and you need that pass from your libero. You need the setter to be consistent. You need your hitters to do the job. So I think that my message would be that we work hard, we play hard, and that we are together, and that's what makes us golden.
And our guest this week is Cassie Belliver. She is the head women's volleyball coach at Westchester University, has spent nearly two decades leading the Golden Rams. And Cassie, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me and giving me this opportunity to highlight Westchester and our women's volleyball team.
So as we are talking here, final days of August, getting ready for the regular season. What has life been like the last couple weeks here as you ramp up towards your opener?
Yes, the most exciting part of the year when volleyball season is ready to get back in session. Just so exciting for the girls as we look towards the 2025 season after a nice long summer of volleyball camps. It's volleyball all year round. But this is definitely an exciting time for the college student athletes.
Obviously, you recruit these kids, so you know who they are and what they bring to the table. But I'm curious, how long does it take you to get a real feel of what the group is capable of? Like, how they mesh? Are the strengths what you thought they were going to be on paper? Are there weaknesses or not as many as you thought? Like, how long do you feel like at this point in your coaching career does it take to say, okay, this is what this group's ceiling is and this is where we should try to go?
Sure, that's a great question because every year it's one of the best parts is putting this puzzle together because obviously you're graduating your seniors and trying to fill those spots year after year, a whole new group of players coming together. But at Westchester especially, you know, those first year players have had so much experience at the high school level, at club level. So there's certainly a learning curve, but in just a small matter of time from preseason to our first match coming up in a few weeks here, yes, like we have to find that chemistry and mesh and put together a lineup that we feel is going to produce a win in just a few weeks. So my answer to that would be, I hope really quickly, you know, we try to get the girls out there, team bonding sessions, meals together, as much as we can cram into that first few weeks together of these girls learning each other's cues on the court. So yes, as quickly as we can to find that chemistry so that we can get moving as quickly as possible with a win.
Do you approach different seasons differently depending upon what you're bringing back? Like, do you approach a season where you're senior heavy the same way maybe you would approach where it's skewing much more underclassmen? Like, is it a little more teaching in certain situations, less coaching, vice versa? Or do you approach them all generally the same and we will get to the finish line the same way?
That's another great question, because obviously experience is vital and very important at the collegiate level. Because again, these girls are coming from teams where it's a fast pace at high school and certainly in travel. But once you're at the collegiate level, yes, like the pace is very, very fast. I think that's another learning curves of the younger girls, just to understand how quick this game becomes and how talented all of the players are across the board. So I do approach it to where we want an opportunity for everyone to feel that they're going to contribute to that season. So in preseason, everyone's getting the touches, everyone's getting the reps. So it's a similar pattern, but my comfort level of knowing those girls who have been there, done that in the PSAC is certainly something that makes me feel comfortable as we go towards that first match.
You mentioned volleyball being a year-round thing. Take me back to when you started coaching overall, like right out of college. Like, how different is it? I would imagine when you started, many more of your athletes, volleyball was just a piece of their athletic puzzle, and that was the one they pursued. Like, or were there the camps and, you know, and the showcases and stuff like that back then? Or is it a completely different animal when you're looking for your athletes?
Yeah. So back when I first began, just coming right upon graduation and gaining that head coaching job, there certainly were opportunities. But I would say the growth of the sport over those 20 years has just been immense. And what an opportunity for young women to be able to get involved at the high school level. Even just all around more junior high programs, which is even something over the past few years, more school districts are providing that opportunity. Certainly CYO, not everyone has that opportunity, but the growth has just been immense. And you see that at the club level, the amount of teams, the amount of tournaments. So, it's just such a wonderful thing. But as far as the collegiate experience, then yes, just the opportunities that those girls have had from such a young age really allows them just to keep blossoming as they come into the freshman year.
I'm curious, is there anything on the other end? Do you find kids that have been playing volleyball their whole life, and when you start to talk to them, that maybe they've started to burn out a little bit, or you can kind of tell that they're just doing it because they feel like they're supposed to do it? Because I know in other sports coaches I've talked with, that's over the last 10, 15 years, maybe not a problem, but has become something that you notice that maybe you didn't notice before.
I feel like we've seen both sides of that. We've had a player from New Jersey, Michelle Powers, who was really newer to the sport as a freshman or sophomore in high school. So we use that term. She was a little bit raw and hadn't had as much experience, which sometimes really provides an opportunity to teach her. And the muscle memory maybe wasn't there. And she became one of our most talented players that we've had. But yes, hopefully not the burnout. You know, I really do value when younger women are able to participate in many sports. So we've had a lot of girls who were successful, who were maybe gymnasts prior, some soccer players. Myself, it was basketball before volleyball. So I think that's really, really great just to develop your whole sense of your body and understanding how to maneuver playing those other sports and then coming to volleyball. But yes, to your point, I do think more and more that they are kind of channeling students into just that one sport, which for me is great. If a lot of volleyball, but I can see the converse side of burnout. But personally, no. You know, we found that girls that are hopefully in it and have that passion and have the joy and just the love of the sport, they want it as much as they can get it.
When you're putting a roster together, when you're recruiting players, are there certain positions that are the toughest to find high-level players, like more than other positions?
Yeah, another really, really great question. So in volleyball, obviously, you know, you do have position specific, but we actually, a pattern that I try to follow is find the athletes. It's such a sport where, depending upon your rotation, you are designated as an outside hitter, but there's obviously rotations where you may hit from the right side. So being able to be just diverse and being flexible and willing, maybe even at the collegiate level, to maybe switch positions, I think that's very, very valuable. Middle hitters, that's a tough job. Setting, it's such a specific skill that you need for that. Libero, being able to be quick on your feet and playing the defensive side. So I think that as these 20 years have gone by, we've seen maybe taller liberos than way back when. And even now with all of the training the girls are doing, some undersized who work on their verticals. So there's a lot of ebb and flow with that to allow, regardless of your physique, to be able to play different positions.
Going to show my ignorance here because libero is a term I've never heard before. What position is that? What are they responsible for?
Sure. So the libero is specifically a defensive player who, if you have seen volleyball visually, she wears a different color jersey. So she is permitted then to remain on the court for six rotations, which allows her then to be able to play more positions. And it's traditionally most teams use her in place of their middle hitter. So whenever that middle hitter would be rotating off, the libero can come on. And when your second middle is rotating off, the libero replaces her as well. So that allows her to remain on the court to steady your defense and let her play the six positions.
What was your introduction to volleyball growing up? You mentioned, were you more a basketball kid for the most part, and then you discovered volleyball? Had volleyball always been a piece of the pie? Kind of what's the story?
Sure. So I grew up in Baden, Pennsylvania, went to Ambridge High School, and at that time, not as much volleyball opportunity. So Little Bridgers basketball, you know, following, I had two older brothers that did basketball, did baseball. So that was my sports introduction, playing for the basketball team. And then entering seventh grade, junior high at Ambridge in the 90s, we did have volleyball. So tried out for the team. And from there, it became all volleyball. I just pursued it through junior high, through high school, played at the Division III collegiate level. And as you mentioned, just 1 year after graduating, was able to obtain a coaching job and had also done some high school coaching while I was an undergrad.
What was it about the sport that you dropped everything and went all in? Was it you loved the sport? Was it you were really good at it? A combination of the two? Kind of what led to that?
Sure. So showing my age here a little bit, back in the 90s, we didn't have a libero position. So all 5'6" of me was an outside hitter. But yes, I feel that at that time, the team aspect of it, basketball was very, very physical at that time. And just volleyball, certainly still a physical sport, but just so much more in my mind, the IQ of it and trying to figure out defense and offense and running different plays. It's just something that clicked with me and stayed with me. And I really like the challenge of just defensively. That was really my forte.
Past just the athletic skills, did any of the basketball skills specifically help you in volleyball? And not that that was the design, but did you notice at a certain point, like, well, the stuff I worked on here, it really helps here?
I would say footwork, running. We ran a whole lot more for basketball back then. And honestly, volleyball has changed in that manner, too. I know in high school, we were at the track, 6 a.m., running, just for distance, a whole bunch of running. Now I feel just with all the studies that are done and as sports evolve, volleyball is a very quick twitch muscle, very quick reactions. So I know for Westchester now, we're doing much more speed work, much more sprinting. Just the movements that the girls are utilizing on the court is what we're trying to train to allow them to find success out there. So I would just say a lot of the cardio that we used to do for basketball translated to the volleyball court.
When you look back at your playing days, you mentioned you were able to go to La Roche, play at the Division III level. Why were you good? What made you a player that was able to pursue your dream to play in college?
Right. Well, I appreciate that compliment. I think that good just meant I feel like I did have good leadership skills back then, being named a captain my senior year. I was definitely good at serving. That was something where I knew even then that the game was in your control at that time. So I was very, very successful with a float serve. That's, again, something that has changed throughout the years with girls doing more of a jump float, some topspin serving. But that was something where I could work on that during practice, regardless if we were in a drill or not, coming early, staying late, grabbing the cart and doing that myself. So skills that, although it is a team sport, there's many aspects where it is an individual skill that can help your team get some points. So I think serving was something that I helped that program with.
Did you always figure you were going to coach?
Another great question. So I always enjoyed being in a group setting, working with other people, figuring out even like puzzles and strategies and things like that. So I do feel that all of those components go into coaching. So every year it's a new group. Every year it's figuring out what is the right combination that is going to get us a win. It's a lot of in the moment decision making, and I just enjoy the variety of what we do every day, but the looking also into long-term goals and what can we do each day to be able to get there. So I think way back when I thought about being a pediatrician, I thought about the health field. That's actually my background in biology and psychobiology. But I feel like I'm utilizing some of that training with the mind-body connection and just how hopefully being a positive role model, teaching the girls how to be positive on the court, can ultimately lead us to winning.
What are some of your favorite playing memories from college, high school, whatever? But when you think of yourself as a volleyball athlete, what comes to the top of the list?
So even as a coach now, people say it's a lot of the time that was actually not on the court. It's the team memories. Back at La Roche, we would travel in vans and all the fun times. I can remember all the games that we would play. Dating myself again, but prior to everyone being on their phone, all those memories built with that team traveling to and from and after the matches. Yes, I do remember highlights of certain games, and I can picture being at La Roche, being down on the court, being in that locker room. But I would definitely say the whole experience, you remember those good times with your teammates.
So you mentioned earlier, just a year out of graduating from La Roche, you become the head coach at La Roche. Like, what, take me through the series of events that allows that door to open and you to get that opportunity.
Sure. So upon graduation, I obtained my master's degree at Chatham, which is right down the road in Pittsburgh, from La Roche. So I was taking classes and also coaching. I think it was just a matter of timing and being in the right place at the right time. I was familiar with the program. They needed a head coach and I was available and it worked with my schedule. That was a part-time position at that time. I then did get a job using my degree at Carnegie Mellon, which became a full-time job in addition to doing the part-time coaching. But I would find myself throughout the day spending way more of my time thinking about the game or the match or the practice that night, maybe more so than the biology lab that I was supposed to be doing. So my husband and I at that time, he was coaching baseball, and I was still a part-time coach at La Roche, and we both kind of discussed putting the resumes out there and seeing if coaching could lead to something full-time for us. August of 2006, the opportunity became available at Westchester, and as you said, 20 years later, 3 kids later, here we are, still at the university.
So when you first get that job at La Roche, so you're 24?
Much younger. I was actually just about the age of some of the students that were on the team. So just, yeah, 22.
So that was kind of my question. Like, it is one thing to get a head coaching job at the college level that young. It's another thing, I think, to get that job at the place where you played, where I would imagine a not insignificant amount of the roster used to be teammates, and now you're in charge. Was that difficult going from, and I don't want to cast what your college life was like, but going to parties with these kids to, hey, enough of this, let's get to work. Like, it's tough to do that when you're young. It is gotta, I would think, and it's incredibly difficult to do it with people who were your peers, no?
I hope that I was the same person, you know, not changing any of my personality or the way I went about it. I feel that hopefully they respected that just because I had that title didn't mean that we couldn't still have the relationship that we had. But no, just leading them hopefully by example, just being organized and understanding that there was a fine line there. But I never felt any type of any differently about it. I just kind of went about it and was thrilled to have the job and happy to work with the team. And ultimately, at that point, I don't know if it was in my mind that it could lead to a Division II coaching job. So I, again, just happy to have that opportunity to be still involved in a sport that I loved, I think was my mindset at that time.
So no awkwardness? I just, high praise, because that just seems like, you know, especially at that young an age, that could be incredibly tough with
No, to be honest, I think the toughest part was driving those vans. when I think back now, the responsibility that I did have of all those lives and being a young driver myself, I don't even think I was old enough to be renting the van, and I'm driving the van to Bethany College through the mountains. So, no, I was just happy we made it, and everyone survived some of those trips.
Did the coaching itself you talked about how you're at your full-time job and you're thinking about coaching. Like, were there any in the early days, any moments of doubt, like, well, I don't know, and can I do this? Or were you pretty much from the jump, maybe not as success, you know, levels of success are different, but I can do this, and this is what I want to do pretty much across the board?
Yeah. Again, I think back to those times. I don't know if my mindset was so much aware of the wins and losses. Of course, you're wanting to strive to win and make the championships and the playoffs at that time. But again, I think my mind was just, I'm still in volleyball. I'm here. I'm doing something that I am enjoying. So, no, I never questioned or, again, the age or anything like that. I just think back in my mind now to how much I learned and how pretty much being, as they say, thrown to the wolves at such a young age. And I had had some mentors, obviously, my high school coaches and my college coaches, but really navigating that on my own for the most part, I think was very, very valuable because, yes, you learn from your mistakes, you learn what to do, what not to do, and then hopefully growing into the career that I've had because, again, experience, I've just been doing it for so long, and you learn what's going to work and what's not going
to
work.
We need to take a break. We will have much more with Westchester University head women's volleyball coach Cassie Bellever in just a moment. But right now, I want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you will love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HRV. See dealer for financing details. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Westchester University head women's volleyball coach Cassie Bellever. Looking back, do you wish you had any time as an assistant before you took over as a head coach? Like, you're not thinking like that when you're 22, but in retrospect, if you could retcon your early career, do you think you might have been better served with a year or two as an assistant, or do you think getting thrown right into the fire was the best thing?
I do think it was the best thing. Again, that was a part-time position then, and even now I am a full-time head coach, but I have a part-time assistant, a quarter-time assistant at this time. So I think I'm just so used to wearing all of the hats, doing the fundraising, doing the recruiting, planning the practices, helping hopefully with the academics and mentoring in that way. So I feel like I'm just used to doing all of the things because I've been doing that for so long.
I'm curious, because I've asked other volleyball coaches this, on match day, how much of an impact do you think you have as a head coach?
If I'm going to have a lot of impact on match day, I think maybe I haven't done my job with the preparation. So I think that, you know, obviously you watch some shows and watch TV of coaches and maybe the persona that people think that a coach is. I don't want them looking at me on the sideline. I think all of the highlights should be on the girls that have done the work to prepare for that match. So I think I am much more, I think, just vocal and center point in the practices because that's when we should really, really be making our adjustments and preparing. So obviously the result of the game day, we can make quick switches and I can be doing the job then. But I take much more responsibility in the preparation leading up to the match day and quick fixes within the match. But that's their time to shine. That's when they should be thriving. Game day, best day. That's a thing we say a lot. So, of course, training is important. And the girls, that you spend so much time at the practices. But game day is the best day. We really want them to enjoy that.
Was it hard when you first started coaching to cede control to the athletes? And what I mean by that is, when you're playing, you're doing it. Like, you can adjust on the fly. When you're a coach, you can scheme it up. You can tell them about it. You can drill it. You can work on it in practice. But once the lights go on, they've got to do it. Was that hard to accept that early in your coaching career? And do you still, some people I talk to, it's still something that they maybe not struggle with, but every once in a while they're like, oh God, I wish I could just get out there and do it. Like, is that anything you have to deal with?
I'm going to take the positive spin on that and say whenever they do something, like we just worked on a particular hit for our middles, and then when we scrimmaged, they did it. I'm like, we worked on that. So, you know, we love seeing when things come to fruition like that, that they get it. Like, they're absorbing, they see the vision of what we want to do. If it's bad, we just won't take credit for that. So,
speaking of that, do you remember the first time where that happened for you as a coach, where you worked with something on a kid or you discovered something that you thought was going to help and it came to fruition, and what that felt like the first time that happened?
I don't know if I can pinpoint that, but I think I'm going to give a more general answer of kind of going back to our summer camps where you are working with some younger girls. And I love that when you're introducing the sport maybe to the younger kids and they finally get the overhand serve, or they finally can get the ball just even over the net, like the success that they feel. At the collegiate level, I think that's almost a year-to-year thing again, you know, just something where these girls have played, they understand, but then if we're trying to run a designated play, or again, with our middles just this week, like finally getting clicking, hopefully that's happening a lot, that you're helping someone who has a skill, but just take it to the next level.
So you talked earlier about how you kind of made a decision to put the resumes out there and let's make this your life's work. You obviously end up at Westchester. Kind of, were there other places? Like, is there an alternate universe where maybe you could have gone in a different direction? Or once the Westchester opening kind of emerged and you looked into it, this is where I want to go?
Right. So I really credit that to my husband. Again, just finding, we didn't kind of cast the net out there and see what would happen. He came upon the opening, we discussed it, applied, and were offered the position. I've had a few opportunities since then. And I know maybe sometimes it's like, oh, we don't want to be defined by our division, but a few D1 offers, you know, years ago. But I'm just so thankful for the opportunity that Division II has allowed me to be a woman in the sports community and to be able to have a family as well. So finding that work-life balance, I feel like Division II promotes that for the students. Life in the balance is a quote that they use, and it is something they advertise to attract students to be Division II athletes. But honestly, it's attracted me and has helped me, I think, remain at Division II to be able to find that work-life balance.
When you start at Westchester, did it feel a lot different than La Roche? Like, was that jump from D3 to D2, was it tangible?
I will say the off-the-court things, no. Like, there's still a lot of the planning and the – but I will admit with Division II, especially at Westchester, we have so much assistance in the athletic department. So I do the scheduling, but even beyond that, just with having our laundry done and all the little pieces that we try to remind the student athletes how many people in the community it takes just for them to allow to walk on the court on game day. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes. So I think we had supported the D3 level, but I believe at the D2 level, just a step up in the manner of a little bit more assistance from the athletic department.
So when you start at Westchester, how long do you feel like it took before the program was yours? I mean, obviously when you're hired it is, but I mean that you had a group that you felt was going to play the way you wanted to. You kind of had a stamp of what Westchester volleyball was all about. Was it relatively early? Do you feel like it took a few years? What would you say?
I think the answer to that would be once I was able to do some of my own recruiting with that class. So obviously coming in, we got there the second week of August and pretty much practice started the next day. So, you know, the group that was there, which was a very strong group. I think we had a great year that year. But to begin the recruiting and talking to the students that were still in high school, to see the personalities that I wanted to spend my day with, you know, that's something, obviously you're looking for very, very talented volleyball players, but we spend so much time with these young women. I want to surround myself with girls that are doing things in the community, that are doing things on the campus, that are really just proud to be wearing purple and gold and be at Westchester, and then ultimately contributing to the community. So right from the beginning, I think it felt like mine or ours, you know, once we were able to do some of that recruiting.
That would seem difficult, like you getting hired the second week of August, and like you said. But in a way, did it almost make it easier? Because you arrive and, all right, let's play volleyball. You just almost walked out of the car and walked into the gym and got to work, and we'll deal with all the adjustments and getting things ready. But the thing that I'm here to do is front and center. Was that actually helpful?
I do believe it was. And honestly, coming from doing that job, even though it was labeled part-time at La Roche, to now where I had more of my day to be able to dive in. But yeah, you're right. It was like, here we go. We're practicing, we play, and I need to learn this campus when I do this tour tomorrow. That's one thing. We had a girl visit right away, and I was just learning the campus at that time. So no, when I think back, I wouldn't have had it any other way. We got here, we jumped right in, and just took off running.
Did you have any knowledge of what Westchester was all about before you started looking at the job? Like, had you been here for a match or anything? Or when you and your husband say, oh, look at this opening, was that the first introduction to anything Westchester?
Sure. So again, being from the Pittsburgh area, we were familiar with the PSAC. So in that area, Slippery Rock wasn't very far away, Cal, Clarion, a lot of the schools in that area. So familiarity with the PSAC, but definitely not so much with Chester County or with Westchester. So upon my interview and in some of those early visits, that was the first time I had been in that area.
So when you think of your run so far at Westchester, a lot of success. What was the first year that you really felt like your team had reached maximum potential? I don't mean effort. I mean every, but just like that group was capable of X and they gave me X and we got X.
Right. So, you know, success can be defined in so many ways. You know, we're really proud of some of the seasons that we had, that maybe the wins and losses, of course, making the PSAC playoffs, that's ultimately a goal and still a goal to be a PSAC champion. But two of those years that were very, very special were making the NCAA tournament. What a wonderful experience they make that for the students. Just every part of that from beginning to end was something that, you know, you look back fondly and just all of those memories. So certainly a goal that we always set and want to be able to provide that for the students, because they're here. They're here to compete. They're here to win. And reaching that goal was certainly something that I felt, yes, like this is where we want to be. This is what we've been working towards. And it's something we continue to work towards.
And I think that was 2015 and 2017, correct?
Correct.
Did both those experiences hit the same? Because I think there's nothing like the first time and you can never replicate it. It's just the first time will always just have this special place. But then to be able to do it again 2 years later, was it on some levels even more satisfying? Are they kind of completely separate journeys that you don't look at through the same lens? How would you break it down?
Sure. So the first time, obviously, it's the unknown, you know, it's the just everything that went about it feeling so grandiose and spectacular. It's really, really a production that they put on at that time. And then the second time, yes, it was like been there, done that, the familiarity with it. Some students had experienced that. And now, like, it's just the hunger to get back to that. It's like we know that we've accomplished that. We know we can do it. But volleyball in the PSAC and in just this surrounding area has just become better and better. These teams, everyone is competitive. Everyone has that go-to girl. So the challenge of getting back is something that I'm wanting to take on, and we want to do it. But we're very, very hungry to get back to that, because it was great.
You mentioned you can judge success many different ways. For the most part, do you feel like you judge success the same way you did as when you started coaching, or has what you consider success evolved over your career?
So I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose in Scrabble to my husband. I don't like to lose in any aspect. But I do feel like I'm compassionate and I'm realistic. And I know that there's two results. Are we going to win? Or are we going to lose? But I certainly want to win more than I want to lose. But I also understand that there's going to be one champion at the end of this year. There's going to be one NCAA champion at the end of this year. So setting that bar is a great goal to have, but I do feel like we can look at other aspects of this upcoming season and what ways can we make it a success. So if we're looking at graduation and retention, we've got a young woman who just got accepted into medical school last week as a senior, and she'll be graduating and moving on. That is such a success to me. Like, I'm just so proud that she found that balance, was a Division II athlete, and now she's going to go continue to help and affect so many lives. So that's success to me. We do find success in the academics, and we're very proud of our streak that we're on as far as reaching the AVCA Academic Award. That's success. And even just, it's a long season. We have a lot of girls on that roster, and I find success in that student who does everything that I ask, and maybe I'm not able to provide her as much playing time, but if we can get her a little bit of time and experience on the court, like that's a minor success for me that we were able to honor her that way. So I think there's so many things besides that win column and loss column. Ultimately, as the coach, that's my goal, to provide and a team that's going to get us more wins. But we can look at that big picture too of how are we molding these young ladies? Are we doing the right thing to be able to make sure they're making an impact?
I think earlier you said one of the things you have with the team, game day, best day. Do you prefer games or practice?
That's another great question that I think as I've grown, that has evolved. I think when I was young, it's like game day, let's go. Like yes, that my mindset was, it really was all about the game day. I would say in the past, like maybe 5-7 years, I don't know when it clicked, but yes, I'm really, I think, finding enjoyment in the practices, like finding enjoyment in leading up to the game day. So I don't know if that'll continue to ebb and flow as I go on with my career, but I certainly love game day, but I think I'm putting more emotion into the leading up to game day.
Do you have a game day routine? Are you superstitious like?
So yes, nothing that I think is very outward to anyone who might be watching, but it's little things. If I'm have a pen and it worked, like that's my pen, that we will continue. I often had a pair of purple shoes that I would wear, and it's like the purple shoes, that was the magic that year. I didn't take off the purple shoes until we had dropped a match. So little things that I think have no significance on that result of the match, but in my mind they do. You know, it's in my mind, if I can control this little thing that I think is going to help us win, I try to remain with those. But as far as a whole game day routine, depending upon if we're home or away, yeah, you try to keep things similar to keep yourself in a good spot.
I think I know the answer to this given what you said earlier, but one way or the other, love to win, hate to lose. Which resonates more with you?
Love to win.
Okay. I thought you were going to go the other way.
Well, I'm trying. I would classify myself as a positive person. I really try to see everything in a positive light. I don't think I deal well with negativity. I try to see the best in everyone. I want to win, but you're right. Like, I hate to lose, but I don't know if my persona puts that out there. I try to be positive. So I think outwardly loving to win, inwardly hating to lose.
Favorite part of the job?
My favorite part of the job is the flexibility and the variety in your workday and in your season. So the way that our year goes, I mean, we're in the thick of it right now. This is very much a 7-day, 24-hour day job, which I love being immersed at this time. But then once our season concludes, you know, we have a little bit of time in December, January, when the students aren't on campus. Then we rev up again for the spring semester where the girls are practicing. We're doing a lot of fundraising. I coach club volleyball at that time, so it's another volleyball season. And then summertime, we had 6 weeks of volleyball camp, as I mentioned. So just the way that the year is fragmented, that you're always almost, you're looking forward to that next section. But yeah, certainly it's volleyball all year round, pretty much every day, but I really wouldn't want it any other way.
How often are you surprised, either in a kid who exceeds your expectations, like when you brought them in, you thought, well, they'll probably be X, and they end up being, oh, okay. Or a match where you went, going to be a tough climb for us against this group, and wow. Or, unfortunately, the other way, wow, this kid could be X, and wow, it just never worked out. Or, what are we doing out here? Where did this come from? This, we've got to be better. Like, how often do you feel like you're surprised?
So I think I've experienced that emotion like multiple times throughout a season. Sometimes you do recruit a very high level player, and she gets to the PSAC, and guess what? Now she is getting blocked. Like, she might not just have to go up and swing with that heavy arm because the defense on the other side is able to make the dig. So I've had that situation where you really think this student is going to be able to produce and be your Terminator, and then maybe not so much. And then sometimes this word is used like an undersized player, someone who, yeah, they're going to show that they can do it even maybe if they are undersized, but they're going to find a way around the block. They're going to find a way to tool. They're going to find the open space. And those are kind of the grittier players, the ones that, yes, like a little bit of a challenge might be presented to them, but they work hard and they find a way to get the kill.
My final question, what do you want somebody that watches, plays against, interacts with your program to take away? What do you hope the signature of Westchester women's volleyball is from anyone who sees it from the outside?
So I think I would go back to our athletic director and the phrase that we often use, which is together we are golden. So I think that in life, you're going to be presented so many situations where your actions are going to have meaning, but it takes a community. Volleyball is not an individual sport. There's six players out there working together as one, and you need that pass from your libero. You need the setter to be consistent. You need your hitters to do the job. So I think that my message would be that we work hard, we play hard, and that we are together, and that's what makes us golden.
Cassie Belliver, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Westchester University head women's volleyball coach Cassie Belliver for being our guest this week and coming in studio to chat. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.